Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Shrimp Tank, brought to you by Savant, where we interview the brightest and best business owners in the state of Georgia about the do's and don'ts of starting, growing, and creating a successful business. The Shrimp Tank. We're also going to bring you live pitches. In just a couple of weeks, you'll have to join us on the show because we're going to be bringing in college students to pitch us their business ideas, these young entrepreneurs across the state of Georgia that are really helping grow the new ideas in the state in front of our panel of very successful business owners to see whether or not their business can swim or will it sink in the tank. I am joined today, first of all, by my co-host Lee Heisman, who's the owner of Savant.
Good afternoon, Ted. How are you doing?
It's a great afternoon. We come here 4 to 5 p.m. every Tuesday. You can always catch a replay of all of our shows on the shrimptankpodcast.com. The last 2 months, we've had some spectacular business owners come on here. Anybody from guys that sell real estate to waterproof basements, even in the tent and event business. You know, who thought you could make money putting tents out at Christmas during Home Depot time, right? So it's all good stuff. But we also are going to be joined today. I actually want to bring him in early today. A friend of ours, a friend of the show, and also the co-founder and co-owner of Mr. Mister, Jason Smith, is on today.
Hey, guys. Glad to be here. Thanks.
Well, we're excited to interview and hear about this business because who thought you'd be able to make a business about putting some tubing around your pool and saying, how do we make the mosquitoes go away? You know, in Atlanta, it's no fun to have that during the summer. And if you have never seen one of these systems, we're going to talk about it today. It's spectacular. But I want to start off, and our good friend here, Lee Heisman, my co-host today, he actually got to teach a class today. You don't get to do this every day in your normal job being a business owner. He actually got to teach a class in the entrepreneurship school at KSU. And I understand that this class was about venture analytics today.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Ted.
Just what the hell is venture analytics?
So, you know, it's funny. And to this point, our co-host Chris Hanks is not here today. We missed him very much. And because he's not here, he's on site doing something else. I was able to jump in and teach one of his classes. He asked me to jump in and do venture analytics. It took me about a week to figure out what the heck venture analytics is.
Yeah, it sounds like some made-up word that you would teach at an entrepreneurship school. Venture analytics.
Good luck Googling it. It took me a week to find what it meant.
Is there really nothing on it, or is it legit?
It's legit if you start to circumvent and re-engineer exactly how it breaks down. Ultimately, what I did with the students today is, you know, it's about them looking at business ventures, analyzing what kind of businesses they are, if they're going to be successful, if they're going to have recurring revenue, they're going to have margins, and determining how it classifies into each category. I learned a heck of a lot before I was able to teach it.
You did?
Oh,
what's the difference here between a business and a hobby?
So, you know, it's funny. Hobby was a category.
Hobby is a business?
Hobby is. So is a charity. You know, a lot of things we taught.
If that's true, then every wife in America has a business. It's called shopping, no?
Yeah, you know, but hobbies have changed, I've found, because of Etsy.
Oh,
so you got to consider people start hobbies out of their house, out of their garage. They might do something.
Right.
It used to be called a hobby, but you look over the past few years with Etsy, these hobbies are now becoming businesses.
That's the jewelry you made that I didn't want to buy, right?
That's a valid point.
Somebody's on there. They're basically like, I made jewelry. It's like, no. You bent a piece of metal and you put it on Etsy. You didn't make any jewelry.
You know, what was quite intimidating today, to be honest with you, what I learned out of this whole process, and I probably knew half the staff because Ted, you and I are on the board over there at the KSU Entrepreneurial Center. So I know a lot of the kids and they've been to my office many times. What I learned was if you're serious about presenting, you bring your own podium with you. Did somebody do this? There was a gentleman that showed up before doing a guest lecture. He was a wonderful gentleman. I looked at him. I said, hey, this is great. I have a podium for my notes. He said, oh, actually, this is mine. He proceeded in his three-piece suit to walk into the corner of the room, grab a dolly that he took. He started loading it up on the dolly. And I said, wow, he says, look, I travel. I travel light, but I move quick. It's very impressive.
I can cross him off the I want to hang out with you list. And any guy that brings his own dolly to this, I'm not hanging out with that guy. I'm just not.
Fair.
Now, Jason, have you ever seen in business and hobbies, is there a business that you've seen that you thought, or do you have a worst business that you've ever seen? You thought worst business idea in the world?
Yeah, my last business before mosquito control.
And what business was that?
Promotional products and apparel.
Is that where you basically put like your brand name on whatever you can put
it
on?
No, it's when you put other people's brand name on them. Circuit City, you know, companies that seem to go out of business, et cetera, et cetera. So,
but at least they have a few shirts and hats in the remnants, right?
Yeah, you know, you do a lot on eBay selling Circuit City shirts for 75 cents. So.
You know, Jason, on that note, I also looked that up, and we talked a little earlier that I noticed even in that business model prior, you were donating 30% of your revenue to charity. Is that accurate?
That's true. We, you know, we were trying to make a difference. We were trying to work with a lot of charities and design church for them. And it was sort of the beginning of the crowdsourcing. So,
although 30% of 75 cents is not that
yeah,
much.
I mean, maybe enough for a bottle of water at Costco. I'm not sure.
Now, what is going on at KSU, Lee? What's happening down there? You know, like I said, we're not here with Chris Hanks. We're sorry to not have him here with us today. But Chris is the executive director. He runs the KSU Entrepreneurship Center, which is exploding right now. Amazing stuff. So what's going on down there?
So Ted, off of that note of exploding, you and I have been there from the beginning.
Yes.
And we've been in rooms with less than 10 people on the executive board. And with the thought of the Entrepreneurship Center just being a glimmer in everybody's eye, and they're finishing up over the next 2 months to get their degree in entrepreneurship, the only school in the state of Georgia. And at the same time, Chris then held this event on Friday, and I looked up and there was over 150 people in the room. It was a beautiful event. Aziz Hashim, he's the chairman of the International Franchise Association. He has and manages over 5,000 franchises, 500,000 businesses.
Wow.
So you might have, you know, one franchise with 1,000 businesses. He oversees 500,000 individual businesses. He came out, he was a guest speaker. So having the support, the KSU Center now being supported by the IFA, the International Franchise Association, is a big step. In that room, there was over 150 of the most influential business leaders in the community. I saw tons of people that you know, of course, and I was just humbled to be sitting in the room with them. What was most impressive, and I looked over at Chris and said, it's a shame you're not videotaping this. At the end of the event, the last 20 minutes, there were about 10 entrepreneurial students that stood up and spoke about the center. And I'm telling you, if you didn't walk out of there just energized and excited, there was something wrong with you. But everybody walked away very happy.
Well, I would say for business owners that are here in the Atlanta area, if you've not been up to see the center and just see what's going on there, you really should. And you're going to want to get involved in one way, shape, or form, because school is going to change in this state. You know, it's all college preparatory today, but we still need blue collar jobs and we need kids that want to be entrepreneurs. And this is just the start of what's happening at the college level. We're working hard to talk about bringing this into the high school level and much, much more to come. I know we want to get to talk to Jason about his business, but I wanted to tell both of you, this being Super Tuesday today, I thought I'd be remiss not to talk a little bit about some of the bills that have been going through the state of Georgia and how they may impact us. Now, I first wanted to ask you, what do you guys think about the notion here that it was so quickly shot down around this idea of legalized gambling in the state of Georgia, both horse racing and casinos, that completely, it didn't even make it to vote. Any thoughts on that about it could have been good for Georgia or not?
So Ted, I'll jump in real quick. You know, clearly I'm glad that I have you around me because I wouldn't know these things. I count on you for information.
Yeah. I'm full of useless information, but today it's pretty useful information.
You've made me depressed. If anybody knows me personally, I have played in the World Series of Poker every year for the past 15 years.
Cool.
It is. It's fun. It's an addiction.
And you lost every year?
Every year. Absolutely. Okay. I made it close. And that's why I'm sitting here with you. If I had won, I would be there still. So in one breath, I'm almost relieved that it's been banned, because I don't think I would be stuck wherever the next game was.
Do you think, Jason, good or not good for the state of Georgia if it had passed, you know, legalized gambling?
Not good. I think something that this state needs. Necessity.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about it that people, I think, overlooked, and it's amazing it didn't get to vote. You know how many people are struggling with paying for their kids' college education. But the fact is that the bill would have provided $250 million to the Hope Scholarship Fund at the casino gambling level and another $15 million for parimutuel betting on horse racing. So it would have been $265 million for kids to go to college.
Wow.
So not just that, Ted, but I mean, the redevelopment that it could have brought to downtown Atlanta. I mean, underground Atlanta. Downtown needs more synergy, needs more action. I think it would have been great for there with all the convention business, especially. So
here's two more for you, and then we'll get to talk about Jason's business. Second one on here is this whole idea of pot, weed. Here was the deal. They were supposed to start to legalize medical marijuana in the state of Georgia. What they did pass is they passed that it went up from roughly 8 diseases to 14 diseases where you could bring in cannabis oil. And that could potentially, you know, treat some of these diseases. But they basically did not pass the idea of letting medical marijuana happen in the state of Georgia. Do you guys think that would have been good for the state of Georgia?
Dude, why?
I mean, seriously, you know, you look at states now like Washington, like the District of Columbia, like Colorado, and Oregon and these states are booming now in the marijuana business. So this have been bad for our state?
Plead the fifth.
You know, so Jason doesn't know this, and that's a good call, Jason. Jason doesn't know this. Jason, during that segment of the show, we do have a plead the fifth segment, and you've just used your one and only plead the fifth. So yes. I think, you know, the gloves are off when that gets to that point.
Nobody's going to say they didn't leave their one hitter in the car.
100%. Ted, I'm all about that. Honestly, you know, I say whatever's going to bring more revenue in, whatever's going to build more community, of course. So I am absolutely on board if they would have done that. I'm all about change. So I agree with you with the, I joke about the gambling. I agree with you 100%. I wish they would have thrown that in. Jason, beautiful description of why. The same time with the medical marijuana, with making it legalized here. Right. Why would you not?
Well, you're listening to the Shrimp Tank here on Atlanta Business Radio X. We're coming to you every Tuesday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. I'm sitting here with my co-host, Lee Heisman, myself, Ted Jenkin. We're sitting here with the owner of Mr. Mister, co-founder, Jason Smith. We're going to get to talking about his business. If you want to see a whole list of the bills that didn't pass and one that did, go to shrimptankpodcast.com. I'll put up a list of the ones that I like. And by the way, here's a teaser for you. You need to check it out because the beer business just got better after the bills that passed today. And so did, by the way, if you're a kid and you want to carry a stun gun on campus, you can do that as well. So all sorts of interesting stuff. That's what we bring you here on the Shrimp Tank. So Jason, tell us a little bit about how this idea germinated. Where did the seed germinate to start this business of Mr. Mister? Why does one say to themselves, I want to get in the pest and mosquito business? Where did that even come about?
Well, we're not in the pest and mosquito business. Ah. We specialize in mosquitoes. It's a big differentiator that we have. And it's one thing that I've learned through my career is if you find a specialization, a niche that you're good at, go as deep into that and explore it as much as you can. Everything I found, when you generalize, you know, that's when you lose your expertise and that's when you can get hurt. So talking about the specialization in mosquitoes, a lot of it started with my business partner, Matt Burrill, who had one of these misting systems at his house. And I just used to go, and because that was my mosquito free zone, I just would go hang out at the pool. I'd go hang out outside. I wouldn't get bit by mosquitoes. And I was like, this thing is awesome. But we never really thought about starting a business with it. Until we were down in St. Martin in the Caribbean, we bought a silent auction item for a charity. We're at multi-million dollar mansion overlooking La Semana, which is the nicest resort in St. Martin. And we're getting destroyed by mosquitoes. I mean, they might as well have mosquito be their state bird. And
I thought you were going to say tequila, not mosquitoes. But
we couldn't even have tequila and enjoy it because I'm telling you, it's 24/7 down there. So we got the bright idea that somebody should bring these systems down to the Caribbean. We were probably ahead of our time because right now with everything that's going on with Zika, I think it'd be even better idea. But we kind of missed the day in business school or the Kennesaw State Entrepreneur School when they said, don't start a business in a third world country. It was just brutally difficult. You couldn't get a bank account, trying to find people to work. And then everyone down there is on island time. So, I mean, I consider myself pretty good at sales, but trying to sell to people on island time is just really tough.
Jason, look at this flavor. You know, we were talking a little earlier, and from your previous businesses, Branded by Smith, you grew your business from $100,000 of revenue to $1.6 million, and you were doing work with Circuit City. And we talked a little earlier, and I said, you know, did you know that was coming, that they were going to close shop? And you said, Lee, I saw it coming, and I would like you to describe it a little more. But at the same time, in the same vein, just now you're talking about you being ahead of your time, you going down there and seeing a need ahead of your time, and the challenges that you endured that you're mentioning here, that actually comes with being the tip of the spear.
Right.
So I'm seeing this consistency from your previous business being ahead of your time, noticing that Circuit City is having issues, this business getting somewhere where it isn't. I mean, if there were businesses down there, it was easy. Everybody would be doing it.
Right.
So I'm kind of hearing this flavor that you are kind of the tip of the spear. What happened with the Circuit City? How did you foresee that? And how did you also take over those obstacles down in out of country?
So with Circuit City, when we first started working with them, you know, I've always followed stock prices ever since I was, a young guy through my dad. And the first one I remember is Berkshire Hathaway. I remember wanting to buy a stock back then. I think it was like $8,000 a share. And my dad talked me out of it. So Ted's got to talk to him about that.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's only about $200,000 now.
With Circuit City, when we were working with them, their stock was probably in the 30s and then started to climb down to the 20s. And this is before, you know, the recession of 2008. What happened with them is the big screen TVs that you see now, Like Vizio was just coming out and they were just margin killers for these big box retailers. So the stock just started going lower and lower. And finally, we started to see the stock at like $6 or $4. And I kept asking my contacts there. I had good relationships. Are you guys okay? Are you guys okay? Of course, I was getting the company line. Yeah, we're fine. We're fine. But we just, there was just a feeling that this wasn't a long-term business. So we actually canceled our contract with them about 3 months before that they declared bankruptcy.
Yeah, but at the same time, a really important point, and I want to continue to give Jason credit, is you told me or you mentioned that as you were canceling your contract, you were looking at other vendors so you didn't leave them in the cold. Is
right.
that accurate?
Well, we were holding about 3 months of their inventory on our shelves. And the last thing I wanted to do was burn bridges. I think it's really important, especially now as I get older. The business world is small. And then as you get into different segments, it gets even smaller. Like Georgia gets small, Atlanta gets small, Buckhead, it gets Sandy Springs. I mean, it gets tiny. And you're going to go into different things through your life, different businesses, different ventures, and relationships are the one thing that stays through with it all. So I didn't want to leave these guys hanging with no apparel, but it just turned out that wasn't going to be the answer.
How did you come up with the startup capital for the business? Because it seems to me that this kind of business could be fairly equipment intensive, or you have to get some trucks and stuff like that. So we've learned on the tank that a lot of businesses fail because they're undercapitalized. So how did you get the thing going?
Credit cards.
Seriously?
I swear.
No kidding. That's like the second or third time we've Absolutely. Heard that over the shows in here.
You so know,
like,
well,
what was this? What was the talent behind getting them?
So we were down in St. Martin and the business just wasn't doing what we wanted it to do. Matt and I are longtime Atlanta residents, and we had our third partner, Ryan Clatterbaugh, who's a mosquito industry just pro expert, come to us, and he wanted to get something going. So the three of us decided to get going. And what's the worst time you could possibly start a mosquito business? March, like right now when mosquito season is starting. So we didn't have much time to prepare. We kind of, we really started grassroots. I mean, we were the guys putting the backpacks on our back. We were the guys on Facebook messaging all our friends. And so we just started adding customers and literally doing it out of our own trucks. I mean, we were, you know, bare bones. We were working out of Matt's house and his garage and, you know, just kind of built it small without taking on too much overhead. And, you know, we would put everything we needed on the credit card and pay it off when revenues came in. And luckily, the revenue stayed ahead of the credit cards. And that brought us to where we are now.
So your system, though, and you need, you know, I have obviously Ted spoken about you and about your business and how it's exploding. But you mentioned you put the backpacks on. There's a different level of your business. I mean, you're selling a complete system.
Yeah, we offer both services. We have the backpack misting treatment where we come and we do a backpack spray every 21 days. And we also have these automated misting systems, which are just the ultimate in mosquito control. It's tubing and nozzles. It automatically sprays 3 times a day and just gives you a completely mosquito-free environment. And it also helps with a lot of other outdoor pests. In fact, a lot of our customers get rid of the indoor pest control once they get one of these systems.
Well, you know, from a customer perspective and entrepreneurs that are listening here, that's a real sophisticated solution. You know, I know a number of friends who have businesses that require a sophisticated client. So how do you quickly determine that acquisition? You know, anybody can do a lot of companies offer the mosquito solution with the misting.
Correct.
But that complete solution, which ultimately does determine, and I've heard from a number of friends, it's a better solution, of course, much more thorough.
Yeah, it's a game changer.
How do you transition that for a substantially larger investment from a client?
You know, you got to ask questions when you're starting the sale. You know, a lot of it depends on how people enjoy their yards. I always say, tell me about what you do outside. And if it's somebody who comes home from work and goes swimming, if it's somebody who throws the baseball with their son in the yard every night, people who garden. And like my business partner, Matt, he even got his initially because his son is allergic to mosquito bites. So if you hear those key words, then you talk about the system. If not, then people are probably okay with the spray. It's still a great service. And you know, we always guarantee it. So,
hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank here on Atlanta Business Radio X. I'm sitting here with my co-host, Lee Heisman. I'm Ted Jenkin. Bringing you this program every Tuesday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. where we interview some of the brightest and best business owners in the state of Georgia. In just a couple of weeks, we're going to bring on some college kids to do the real Shrimp Tank where they pitch us the ideas. I don't know if we're going to really fund them, but we're going to certainly teach them about what they need to do to be able to grow their business. We're sitting here with our guest today, Jason Smith, who is the co-owner and co-founder of Mr. Mister. Look, if you have a pool right? And it's summertime is coming and you want to enjoy this thing. You need to get this system put in your backyard. It's really, it's truly unbelievable. And the people around Atlanta, look, you can spend $100,000 on a pool, spend a few thousand dollars to get the system in there so you can enjoy the pool. It seemed like to be a no-brainer. Now, every week, we really bring you one of our segments on here that we call Hot or Not. And in this segment, we're going to ask Jason just a few questions and get his take about where the world is trending. So I wanted to ask you to start off this thing, hot or not, is it a good idea to bring in family members into the business?
Not.
That was instantaneous.
You know, it's just better, I think, to keep everything at an arm's length. As far as, you know, siblings go, you're always going to have that rivalry. I know it works out great for a lot of people, but, you know, me personally, I think it's better to keep it outside.
So we're not judging you today. Yeah. We'll judge you later when you leave.
For sure.
Be clear about that.
Yeah, that's good.
That's true. But we do take notes of who says what. Business plan.
Not
have a business plan.
Well, I think it's good to have a general framework. But, you know, what I've found with business plans is things change so fast that unless you're willing to be flexible and really, you know, go with the flow, a lot of times it can kind of hold you back because you kind of try to stick with what's on paper and not what you need to be doing in real world.
Yeah, even worse, there are some business owners that put it on paper and don't stick with it at all.
Yeah, I mean,
I've done that one before.
I think it's a good exercise. I think it's good to have a plan and a strategy in place, but, you know, I like it better when, I mean, we started Mr. with, we didn't really have a structured business plan per se. We just knew what we wanted to do, how we wanted to do it, how we wanted to take care of people. And really the ultimate guide was the customer service aspect.
Now, there are some that say in the entrepreneurial world that the only ships that sink are partnerships. Do you think that partnerships are a good idea? Yes, yes or no?
I think they're a good idea. You know, people always have really different qualities that they can bring to the table. It's tough when you have partners who have a lot of the same skill sets. But if you have operations guys, sales guys, marketing guys, you know, I think it can work out really well. I mean, it's hard when you, you know, partnership can be like a marriage. I mean, there, you know, sometimes you see your business partners more than your spouse. So it's important to, you know, work on those relationships.
You know, Jason is so fast with his responses. It's first wonderful. Thank you. You let us move very quickly. I do have a...
Sorry, I'll try to slow down.
No, it's wonderful. No, it's wonderful. Sometimes it gets a little...
You.
This is not a hot or not question. I'm sorry. We've jumped through so many things. I am dying to know how and what that name is for the business.
Which is that?
Mr.
Oh, Mr.
Take those broken wings and learn to fly.
Wow. Very nice.
They were a horrible band, were they not?
One song. I mean, last year that was our hold music.
Wow.
And people who got it, man, that's an instant
sale. Was Broken
sale.
Wings their only song? Was that their only song?
You know, there's a couple others, but that's all right.
Carrie, I forgot.
You wouldn't care to admit them on a business radio X?
Exactly.
You know, it's just something that came to us. It was Matt who came up with it and just kind of stuck because what do? We missed. And, you know.
Fair. So one other question real quick off of that topic is, you know, a lot of the things I'm learning about you already is how much you give back. You know, you most people I know when they're ending a relationship with a business like Circuit City that's going out are not thinking about how can I make sure they're still being taken care of for the clothing items. Most people do not give 30% of their revenue in the other business you had. So you are very charity driven and you explained why.
Mm-hmm.
What keeps you motivated?
You know, I think a lot of that just comes from people. I'm a huge people person, and that's where my biggest satisfaction comes from now. You know, that's one thing about the t-shirt business was when you make 1,000 t-shirts, you kind of bring it to a marketing person who's bringing it to a corporate event. It's kind of, oh, thanks, throw them over there. But when you're creating a backyard environment that people can enjoy and create memories and, you know, they call you and send you pictures to thank you and tell you stories about how they had a birthday party for their kids or a family reunion and there were no, you know, bugs bothering their party. And, you know, it's funny, but that's what keeps me motivated is talking to happy people or when customers call you and tell you that your employees are like Disney employees. And I mean, these are this feedback that I get from people. And it's just, I mean, it makes my day.
Hot or not, small business owners should help other small business owners in the local community.
Hot.
And why do you say that? Because some small business owners will say, hey, I'm just out for me, myself, and I. And other ones will say, Yeah, we shouldn't be giving money to the big guys. We should be helping out the other little guys. Why do you say that?
Oh, you're talking monetary aid?
I'm just saying in general. Yeah. Well, if you know,
I was talking about free advice.
Well, I'm talking more about referrals and things.
I mean, we're huge with referrals. I have, you know, people all around different industries that we always work with. And I just feel like people are either referrers or they're not. And I mean, good referrers are just amazing. And that, you know, that's what got me to Ted, really. I mean, the people that Ted's referred me to have been solid gold. So I think it's always good to talk to other small business owners, because you're going to get a lot of ideas, a lot of vendors, a lot of things that people are doing that you're not thinking of. So to me, working with other small business owners means getting ideas, sharing ideas.
I think it is big stuff. I met with a person that Lee introduced me to this morning, and I've been sight unseen. Really, I basically gave them two referrals to people that I know. Maybe it'll help their business, maybe it won't. But a lot of people forget that when money goes to a local business, about 70 cents of that dollar stays in your local community, which creates more jobs and more money. If the business goes out to a big business, I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying that only about 10 cents of the dollar is going to stay in your local community. So if your idea is to drive the local economy, you want to go small business owner to small business owner.
Now, at the same time, consider when you're going large business, again, not chastising or criticizing, your connection with the decision makers might be many levels removed. And when you're going to the small business, that community, that intangible community. And Ted, years ago when I met you, and you know, the reason we hit it off so well was because we're givers. We're constantly giving and constantly connecting people. That builds such a snowball effect that just starts to roll and pick up everybody along the way. So it really builds a lot of positive momentum for everybody included.
Yeah, there's a term actually called net weaving. So you're not really networking, you're net weaving. Like, we learned about it in a Leadership Atlanta class that we did, but the guy who invented it is here in Atlanta. There's a book on it. And it's really cool when you introduce people, so you don't necessarily get anything from it, but two people are going to benefit from it. And I think people remember that and always then think to who can they send to you that's going to help you.
As Jason shared that, I was thinking about the song Dreamweaver. So we got a whole bunch of songs today. I don't know why I was thinking
the music
that,
edition
was,
of Shrimp Tank.
Yes. Yeah, I would sing Netweaver, but I know it would not come off good on radio. So I'll just pass that little segment of it. And what I'll go to now is that we bring you every week here on the Shrimp Tank, we like bringing you fun, informative segments. While we talk to some of the brightest and best business owners in the state of Georgia, we're talking to Jason Smith today, who is the co-owner and co-founder of Mr. Mister. And we like to go through a segment called Plead the Fifth. Now, by the way, we've already brought on some unbelievable business owners. One of our first shows was with Rhonda and Frank Duffy, literally the number one real estate agent in America. And you really need to go to shrimptankpodcast.com if you want to hear her Plead the Fifth. But we're going to talk to Jason today and hit him up with our Plead the Fifth question. So, Lee, you want to kick us off with one?
And I'll remind Jason, he used his Plead the Fifth earlier.
Oh, this is true.
That is correct. Yep. So we'll
skip the drug policy question.
That's exactly right. We'll let you use another. Okay. And I'll jump right into it. Okay. I'll be Hanks, which is very critical and sinister. You know, Chris does that. Your most hated competitor.
My most hated competitor?
Yeah. You could take down one competitor. Who you want to take down?
I'm legally not allowed to name my most hated competitor.
Really?
Can you describe why? Then just the reason.
Yeah,
why.
I mean, look, we're you know, I like to consider Mr. relationship focused, and I think that there's some competitors out there that aren't as relationship focused as we are, and you know, I hear stories, and it's just you know, not how I would want to run my business.
Now, here's one: did you ever come close to missing payroll?
No,
really,
never.
No kidding.
We've always, I think we've just always done a great job of growing smart. And we, you know, we have formulas of when we need to add employees, and we just keep a sharp eye to make sure we have enough revenue to pay the people that we hire.
All right, Jason. So in a short amount of time, you've impressed me with really that moral fiber, I can tell, the things that you've done in your career, not just because you say it. I'm looking at your actions and your behavior.
Yeah.
Take a moment. This is a heavy one.
Uh-oh.
What is the thing you're most afraid of?
Sending my kids to high school?
Fair. And in the business world now. In the business world.
I thought it was going to be mosquito driven, like something we hadn't heard of before.
But the Zika virus or whatever you're talking about.
Yes. You know, what I'm most afraid of is as we get bigger, we have less and less control. We've worked really hard to build our reputation. And as you get bigger and hire more people, you know, I'm just always afraid that something can happen to ruin our, to hurt our reputation. And, you know, that that's what means a lot to me, is our name, and people hear our name and think positively about it. So I think our reputation, you know, keeping that reputation.
So past, present, or future, what is the no miss concert that Jason Smith must see?
Fish, anywhere, anywhere Fish plays. That's Fish with a P-H-I-S-H.
Wow.
Fish.
Wow.
That's a quick answer. And that's the only band that I'm really going to buy a ticket to go see, to be honest.
Fair. Marrying an entrepreneur, does it guarantee a divorce? And here is the reason why this is a big one. Take a moment, is, you know, I, Ted knows I feel this way. I speak a lot on work-life balance, but most entrepreneurs do not have a work-life balance. And I would say more than 50% of the people in the rooms that I am in on a consistent basis are not wearing wedding bands or are on their second or third marriage. Does it guarantee a divorce?
No, nothing guarantees a divorce, I don't think. You know, it's hard, the work-life balance, but I think that's the great thing about phones and computers, is you can come home, you can hang out with your kids, you can put them to bed, and then you can sit on your couch and work, you know, as long as you need to work. And, you know, that's a good thing for me, is I can drive around all day and talk to people. And then when you come home, that's when you can sit down with the computer.
You know, let me jump in and comment about that. A little subtlety is, most people would say, hey, great, I get off of work, it's 5:36, I come home, I see the kids, I jump on the couch, relax, watch TV, and just kind of chill out. Where the true entrepreneur is, hey, once I get all the kids taken care of, I jump on the couch and I start working again. Did you notice that?
Yeah, well, I think most people forget that when you work 9 to 5, no matter what you do, whether you're working for yourself or an employer, that's basically what it takes to meet the requirements, right? And then anything that you put up and above that is really an investment in yourself. And that's true for employees that are listening to the show, but also people that are entrepreneurs. And so it's really funny, if you love your work like you do, I know, it doesn't feel like work. And so
No. Don't
a lot of times people will say to you, you need to get a hobby. And I go, I got a hobby. I got that business and that business and that's those are hobbies. You know, if I was on the golf course every day, I'd be miserable.
Yeah. I mean, I truly love what I do every day. I love answering to people's emails quickly. And even if it's 11 o'clock at night, you know, you respond to somebody that quick, they remember that.
So again, Mr. Charity, Mr. Considerate, that's as you, right. I'm taking. How much money does it take for you to quit?
Ooh. I think that's a moving answer. I don't really know if it's if there is a certain dollar amount. I mean, I don't know if I quit what I would do. So I don't know.
That's a kind of a weird plead the fifth there.
Well, I just don't. I don't have a number in my head. Okay, I don't think about quitting. I don't think about retiring. I just think about doing what I do on a daily basis.
So. I believe that.
I don't have a business plan for retirement.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm scared to retire, so.
Ted, with your 13 businesses, I don't think you could.
I'm scared. Well, hey, thanks for coming on the show today. For those that are listening in and around the Atlanta area, and they're looking at basically getting the service that you offer put up at their pool or in their backyard so they can enjoy it more this summer, how can somebody listen to the program today on the Shrimp Tank? You can also, again, find a replay at shrimptankpodcast.com. Get in touch with you and your company.
Well, you can check us out on the web, mrmr.biz, and you can also call us, 404-941-0720.
Is the hold music done by Mr. Mister when they call in?
That was last year's hold music.
Last year, I got it. I got it in here. But all seriousness, folks, I know a lot of people have used this service, and if you're putting money into your backyard or your pool, you really need to get this. It'll help you enjoy it a lot more. More great family time. And you don't have to worry about the Zika virus. Is that the...
Yeah.
We'll see that. There's
no
even
Zika.
Even a plus to that as well. We're going to do a post-show wrap-up that you can catch on YouTube and check out all the YouTubes from Shrimp Tank. Next week, join us on March 8th. We'll be bringing on Michael Blake, who is the owner of Apregio Advisors, a business advisory firm, business valuations. We want to know what your business is worth and how to make it work better for you. Come and join us on the Shrimp Tank, and don't forget to be with us on March 15th. We're going to have kids on here. It's going to be unbelievable when they pitch their ideas. You're going to get to see what the future ideas are that are coming here in Atlanta. So thanks for listening to the Shrimp Tank, and we'll catch you all next week.